Oh, he said the mark of the beast in the needle, like the little chip, like the little rice chip. Yeah,
little chip.
I know there's all kinds of stuff going on like that, and I'm careful about that stuff. There's a lot of conspiracy theories out there. Some of the conspiracy theories are true. A lot of them are lies, but we have to be careful. We preach the gospel and live for Christ, and we let all that stuff play out. Too many people are caught up in the last day events and guessing and questioning, and they're not focused on living every day, because there's a good chance most of us are going to die before we see the last day events, especially you and I, we're older. So yeah. We need to be focused on preaching the gospel and bringing more people into the kingdom. Well, God brings them in, but we just let people know. Then worried about politics and all that. Politics is a dead-end street. Paul said in Timothy, what soldier entangles himself in the affairs of the world and he doesn't serve the one who's called him? And that's what happens when you get involved in politics. It drains your energy. It loses your focus.
Absolutely.
And Jesus said, I called you for a better purpose. And I'll give you proof that we shouldn't be involved in politics. Ready? From our Lord and Savior, our Master. They brought him a coin. Do you remember what happened? Should we pay taxes to Caesar?
Yeah.
Jesus said,
Caesar.
No, wait. Did Jesus say, no, Caesar's a wicked, evil politician. Don't do anything. Don't give him any money. Don't do nothing. Fight against him. Get free elections. No, Jesus said, give to Caesar what Caesar's. Jesus basically said, that's temporal, nothing, and money. Give to God what is God's. And that's my take when people say, you got to be political because otherwise you'll lose your freedom to preach the gospel. And I said, you understand something. How long has America had the freedom to preach the gospel?
Ever since it
260
was
years, and look at America, a corrupt, perverted, sodomized, feminized, paganized nation. The first century saints, it was illegal to preach it. Look what they did. They turned the world upside down. We don't need laws to preach the gospel. We need men and women that will stand up and go preach the gospel.
Right.
We don't need laws. We don't need any of that. All right? So that's my stance against when people talk about politics. It's a hopeless thing that God's people should not be involved in. People are drunk that they were. They were drunk on Trump. Now I notice more and more people pulling away, and they think the next great hope is coming. None of it.
DeSantis.
Yeah. None of it. Oh, he's a Roman Catholic. All these evangelical Christians jumping onto Ron Santis. He's a Roman Catholic.
He's a cult.
And the Roman Catholics just wanted
worship statues Pope.
Oh, yeah. And the Roman Catholics just agreed to gay marriage. They want gay marriage. And you know what's surprising to me? I don't watch the news much, but I watch enough because I write about it on my blog. Every day I post on my blog. The Mormons voted for gay marriage. That really surprised me. They normally, they're a cult, but they normally defend family values, and they voted for it too. So there's this big shift that's taking place.
That's right.
And here's what's going to happen. I'm not a prophet. I do a prophet's job, but I'm not a prophet. Here's what's going to happen.
Do I have another card?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's what's going to happen. They're going to bring this whole gay agenda to the point where all these 501c3 churches, if they don't agree to it, to marry them, to hire them, to do that, they're going to lose their 501c3.
That's right.
And then most of these churches are going to fold and go, well, we're against it, but we need that 501c3. No true man or person of God should be united to the government in a 501c3 entity. For money. They do it for money.
Yeah,
we're not supposed to serve mammon. We're supposed to serve Christ, right?
They do it for that tax break.
Tax break, yeah, so they can get more mammon and build bigger buildings and bigger parking lots and bigger widescreen TVs, and the pastor gets a bigger retirement plan. Oh, I know. We've been through it.
We have this one church when you go up 75.
Yeah.
We call it the Church of the Golden Rolex.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, I know. Some of them are just, mega rich.
It's
And God did away with the building system.
Yeah.
He did away with it.
We used to go to house churches.
Yeah. And those are, you know, those are the biblical way, but I have to tell you, watch out in America, because for all the denominational places that are false, the house church, you know what I found house churches mostly are in America?
What?
A bunch of disgruntled people that went to Sunday church that didn't like the pastor, didn't like the policies. They're gathering as a social club, but they're not really interested in doing it like the first century
pastor
body.
The pastor that taught in our home church, he was kicked out of his church.
Uh-huh.
He was a pastor.
Yeah,
church.
Yeah. But my point is most of them don't do it biblically. They just become a social club. They read some scripture. They watch movies. They watch sports. They live like the culture. You got to come out completely.
Yeah.
You got to come out completely. I mean, the Bible tells us how to act, you know, like we're talking about. Yeah. He tells us how to dress, how to live, who to associate with, how to spend our money, what to focus on every day, to seek after righteousness. I don't know hardly any Americans seeking righteousness.
Right.
Most of them are seeking their own life. watching right. Packers or the whatever football team or whatever. I'm from Wisconsin. I always say the Packers, I call them out. But whatever football team that they watch and politics and all their false ways. So there has to be a reversal of allegiance. And if we have faith in Jesus, it means our allegiance is on him. It's not just believing. Satan believes. Satan believes. Yeah. It's the allegiance to Christ which causes you to follow and obey him in spirit and truth. And hardly anyone's doing that. I know a handful of saints all around the world that are doing that, but just a handful. Jesus said in Matthew 7, few will find eternal life. Do you know what that word few in English is translated to?
Very little.
Puny. Eight got on the ark. Three came out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? Two came out of Israel out of 600,000. Joshua and Caleb. Wow. And if you take that percentage of 2 out of 600,000 and you take 330 million Americans, you know how many people would come out of America? 1,500. Out of 600,000 to 330 million,
wow.
It's about 1,500, something like that. I don't know. I'm not telling you only 1,500 Americans will make it to heaven. What I'm saying is the number is few and small. And so what your goal should be to test your life and say, am I one of them? And what's the fruit that I'm one of them? Do I just believe, or has my life really been conformed? Am I plucking out sin? Am I studying the scriptures? Am I conforming my life in all ways to his ways? And am I seeking and loving God and his true people? Or am I just kind of drifting through life saying I believe in him, but I'm pretty much like the world?
Yeah.
That's what happened to us. We were worldly people.
We heard the gospel.
Yeah.
Saved.
Okay. Yeah. And there's another thing. Saved. You're not saved yet. You got married. Are you married today? No, so you're not saved yet. So you come to the knowledge of salvation, but salvation's going to come for you on that day. I just read it out loud, Revelation. He's going to judge everyone for their deeds. And if your deed is that you followed Christ and clung to him and lived for him every single day on your last breath,
it's not too late.
You'll get
right?
salvation.
No.
No, it's not too late. No, not if you're willing to seek him, if you're willing to repent, if you're willing to lose this life. The Bible says he wants none to perish. Now, the only way that it would be too late is if he's turned you over. Okay, but people that are turned over, guess what? They don't even want to hear the word of God. They don't even care about the word of God. They're not even convicted anymore. When you're turned over, you go into sin and you love it again and you're just living your life and it's gone. You're lost.
Right.
Hebrews 6, can't turn them back. They're gone. They're trampled in the blood. When I see somebody who's convicted and they ask, is it too late for me? That's evidence that it's not too late because the Holy Spirit's still convicting you.
Yep.
But don't dabble with it because you could get turned over.
Okay.
He can offer it. And if you keep holding out, he will turn it over to the point where you don't listen. And he'll say, fine, you want your life without me fully? Go for it.
Okay.
And I warn men about this all the time. If God's given you light and truth, I have a question. If he's given you light and truth and you're not obeying it today with all that you are, why should he give you more? Once you obey that, then he'll give you more. Once you obey that, he'll give you more. More. Wow, after a year or two, you got so much truth and holiness and righteousness, you're like, wow. But if you don't start and you're holding out, God says, I can't give you no more.
Right.
And remember what James says. The Bible says, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Remember the prodigal son. He was out in the pig pen with the harlots. Did the father come running to him first?
No.
He repented. He was on his way back. And the father ran to him. He drew near to God. God drew near to him. So that's what you have to do if you really want to seek the kingdom, is put that as your goal above career, above everything, and seek it with all that you are. And that's what I teach in my website, how people do that in the Word of God. And we encourage people. We'd like to disciple people. If you want a Bible study, we got technology. We can Bible study over the phone. And you want accountability, you want to be held close to the Word of God, I'm here for you.
Okay.
I'm here for you.
I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
We love you. We love you. Let me know I can help you, all right?
Yep.
I'll be praying for you. God be praised. I hope to hear from you.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Meeting you.
Safe travels, Van Dweller.
Thank you.